long-haul truck driver once said that the hardest part isn't the miles, it's the waiting. Waiting for that next load. Drop something off and wait for the next load to be put on the truck. Waiting for the sun to rise. Waiting to get home. He said that often, weather permitting, he let the window, roll down the window, let the air blow in on him. Turn on the radio, not to break the silence and not really to stay awake, but as a reminder, somebody is waiting for me. Hope can look like that, waiting in the dark, believing that the light is coming. Recently, we marked my son's birthday. And with that birthday and this sermon preparation in mind, I could not help but think about how we had set up his room, the nursery. And being the first one, that's all you got to think about. And I put together the bed and, you know, take some pictures of that process. You know, here I am putting it together. It was a joy. And we had everything laid out and set up. I'd even laid out the clothes to wear when we went to the hospital. The birthing class had said, gentlemen, you're going to be in there. Your shoes, whatever you're wearing, it might get messy. So make sure it's something you don't mind getting messy. So it was an old pair of shoes and a t-shirt, which I still have, and a pair of sweatpants, which I think got lost somewhere along the way. But anyway, that's what I had everything laid out there. And just wait until it happened. I think of a schoolmate, she's a year behind me in school, and spent the last block of her teaching career at the fifth grade. And I remember, she actually remarried a high school sweetheart who was a friend of mine, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, I was on Facebook, and she would, had her pictures setting up her classroom. And since that the summer has passed, and all that she had done, and each seat nicely arranged, think about what it's going to look like on that last day of school, but nevertheless, it's the first day of school, everything set up, now just waiting for my next group of students. It was becoming more poignant for her as she was in her last few years of teaching, in a sense, retired. Waiting. It takes many forms. And waiting is a theme here with Malachi, sometimes jokingly called Malachi, the Italian prophet. He is the last prophet of the scriptures. He stands in the period of what they call the post-exile. The people have come back. Again, following the history, Isaiah warning them, Jeremiah comforting those who had already gone, that first wave. We look at Nehemiah as a group that has come back. At this point now, Malachi, the walls have been rebuilt, the second temple is operating, and many of the same problems have come back with them, of just taking advantage of people and not being, maybe not as bad as they were, but it's like you should be better. Haven't we learned anything? That's the kind of period to which he is speaking, and he looks to hope for the future. And then there'll be a season of silence. And so, and this is what I wrote in all caps, when God seems silent, stay steady. Looking at these two passages from Luke and from Malachi, I think on this, about God and keeping promises. Now, we're not always guaranteed getting the answer that we want, and keeping the promise, and this is exactly how I want it kept. You know, the story of answers, yes, no, wait. And I would add, sometimes God says plan B is better than what you think is plan A. Malachi says the prophet, the Messiah, will be coming. But estimates up to 400 years pass between those words and the appearance of Christ. Our lesson from Luke, very short piece there, so to set the stage, a little bit of a reminder, there was Simeon who was told that, was shown by the Spirit, before you pass, you will see the Messiah. And I'm sure he probably thought, yes, I'm going to be, strapping guy in my 40s, and I'm going to see some man walking down the street. Well, no, he was old, and it was a baby. When Mary and Joseph bring Jesus there in the temple, circumcision, all that to take place. So even then, it's a bit of a promise because this is a baby. Can't do anything just yet. But the promise was kept. Anna has been in there for years, decades. And she beholds him as well. Been told again, Simeon's been told, you will see the Messiah, and waited for decades. I think of Christmas gifts. I imagine what would it be like to wait 50 years to get Marvel the Mustang? He's almost for real. His beloved early gift for me. What felt like silence was a setup for something bigger. It was like a prep school. Do not think of God's silence as absence. Think of it as a season of preparation. Easier said than done. A mechanic is working on a stubborn bolt, and it doesn't appear to budge. And I've been on those too. Keep going, keep going, keep going. The tool is working, and slowly but surely, the pressure is going. It's being applied, and the bolt moves. Or it's in the kitchen, and you've got, you know, those power grip jar lids. And usually I'm brought in, you know, I need a strong little boy to do this. Oh, I'll do it, Mama, sure. But anyway, turn, turn, turn. It seems like nothing is happening, but the pressure is slowly making it happen, and then pop, it is there. Slowly, God is working through the tension in our lives. Applications are made for jobs, for schools, and then you wait. Tests are taken at the doctor's office, and then you wait. A construction permit is to be issued, and sometimes you have to wait. You plant tulip bulbs in the fall, waiting for them to bloom in the spring. Silence is not absence. God is preparing you. And a reminder that most of the time, we live between prayers given and prayers answered. And faith holds steady in that waiting period. God can use a time of waiting to purify. And in part, that's what Malachi speaks, the purification that's going on. And for those of you who have sung the Messiah, it comes right here from that section. In fact, for some of you, that tune is probably living in your head, rent-free. Anyway, this is how it's used. Now, it's been said that for goldsmith, too much heat will destroy the gold. But too little heat, and the impurities remain. It's just the right amount of heat to purify. And when would the goldsmith know that it is ready? When the goldsmith can see his face in the gold. Do not rush the heat in welding. Impatience can circumvent the process. If you open an oven too early, that can ruin some recipes. Waiting and let the process work. Even and just recently did a bit of a closet reorganize. It took a while, pulling out everything. Most of it did go back in, but still, pulling it out and gradually making that space and making things actually more accessible. But it was a process, and it took, Mary's very patient. I'll say that the service, she was very patient with me, and that for several days as things were out. And it's interesting that we see the reward to those who faithfully waited. A reminder that God honors faithful service in the quiet times. Malachi's time, there's a faithful remnant that has remained. And again, they have groups returned, a group has remained faithful. And again, that hope for purification for all. But again, this is a process to wait. The truck driver keeps the rig in shape. Rig in shape. Cleaned and cleaned, not for praise, but because it reflects a pride in calling. That mechanic keeps working on engines, unseen work, but essential. The teacher keeps showing up for her students day in and day out. Faithfulness in the small things prepares you for God's big moments. The classic parables of Jesus about the person being given talents and what was done while the master was away. And one gets kind of large, medium, and small. And the large, yep, the person does a lot with it. One's given medium, does kind of a medium return. Jesus is pleased with both. It's not like one's better than the other. Both are good. You work with what you had. The one given the least did nothing with it. At one point it said, look, if he'd even loaned it out, I mean, one point you were given one, come back with 1.5, that would have been something. But that's what is criticized, not being faithful with what you've got. And in all of this, notice to whom God responds. The faithful, more than we would think the famous. Purification of the humble priests. Jesus is revealed to the Magi, the outsiders who traveled. And yes, they had the means to travel and give nice gifts. But they were not part of the family, so to speak. The shepherds, who I've used numerous times, think of them as somebody working a rig in Midland or Odessa. Maybe a little on the outside, kind of a Presbyterian, proper Presbyterian society, but they're a little rough around the edges, but they're the ones to whom the angels revealed. Two quiet servants working in the temple, Simeon and Anna. It's like the janitor who turns on the lights and sets up a space. The volunteer who quietly serves behind the scenes and makes all things happen. I don't know how many of you all watched Andy Griffith back in the day or watched the reruns, but I remember there was an episode that came to mind. I didn't research it, so I'm doing it from my memory, where they're having a Miss Mayberry contest and all kinds of pressure. Oh, this person, that person should be it. And of course, it's all on Andy, and how am I going to make everybody happy and not get run out of town over this? In a moment of deciding, and there's this lady who has been making all these things for this pageant possible. And he said, you know, that's it. She's the one who's quietly been serving. She's going to be our Miss Mayberry. And telling that story and all those, it's like, well, how can I support my candidate when you kill up someone like, yeah, he's been faithfully serving. In the end of waiting, it is worship. Waiting even shapes worship, one could say. Anna and Simeon, after all that time, they praised. Are spending a time of worship and praise. It's not like, well, it's about time you showed up after all these years. No, it was, I want to worship. Malachi sees better worship coming as a result of the waiting and the preparation. The teacher watches the children go through the grades and then graduates. I've shared before the infamous Mr. Deal from my high school, a math teacher, had for 2 years cracked that whip over us, wailed and gnashed our teeth, and then off to school you realize how well prepared you were after all. I'm on Facebook with him. He's with several of students, and I remember with one he posted, he said, what joy he gets after the decades of teaching is to see how you all have turned out. And he gets invited back to reunions. We never would thought we'd have done it during high school. And once you graduate, it's like, yes, put him on the list. The joy that he gets from seeing what we are doing and succeeding. And even my sister, who said she got her doctorate in education and said, you know, Mr. Deal, your efforts were not in vain. And she said she has actually become a Mr. Deal as a teacher. She's cracking a whip over her group. Waiting should lead us to hope and blessing, not bitterness. Some takeaways from this. A reminder to trust God in the quiet seasons. The seeds in the ground, it's doing its work even if you can't see it. And an encouragement to let waiting refine you. an encouragement to stay faithful, doing the things that you know you need to do, and trusting God to show you those things of which you're not aware at the moment. To center your hope on Christ, and in the midst of waiting, to worship. Driving in on Interstate 30, I see a lot of works in progress. And right now, some bridges are being enlarged over in my neck of the woods, and roads are being closed over weekends and at night. But a reminder that every piece of rebar and weld and bolt, that it all matters. Even those things that I do not see. How much of the work of that bridge is the work that none of us that drive over it will see? Again, think of the interchange with LBJ and 30. How much work has taken place there behind the scenes, well, I call it behind the scenes work, to make happen what we see now. The bridge holds because of what is often invisible. It holds because of what is done in the quiet. The waiting has held it together. And eventually we will see a completed bridge. I may be a grandparent by then, but eventually we'll see a completed bridge. A person plants trees, apples, trees, so that another generation can enjoy the apples. Or plant the trees so that another generation can enjoy the shade. Over the weeks, we've talked about the house. What are we building? We looked at the foundation. Isaiah pointing to righteousness, and Jeremiah calling the people to repentance and renewal. And that was the floor, the walls, Nehemiah building the community. Today, its ceiling is the hope. Without a ceiling, a building is exposed to the elements. Hope is what shelters our faith from the storms of waiting. It's the confidence that God is still finishing what God started. And stewardship is not just giving money, but it's investing in of your time. It's saying, Lord, even if I cannot see the roof, I believe you are still building it. For what are we waiting? Direction, renewal, healing. This is a challenging reminder that do not despair or despise the silence. Malachi looked forward to the coming of Christ. Simeon looked forward to the coming of the Messiah and saw Jesus face to face. And we live in the same tension between what God has done and what God will do. And as long as Christ is our ceiling, we are never uncovered. Hope is our shelter, and Jesus is our covering. So let the silence build your faith. Our Lord is not done with the building. Our Lord is not done with you. And we are all a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite you now.